For 20 years, I studied cults and the occult. I was asked to evaluate occult sites in Hales Corners, Washington County, in Milwaukee, even in different parts of the country. I taught on the different occult aspects to psychological professionals, medical professionals. Also, the last seminar that I did was with law enforcement. I taught 250 law enforcement individuals, but I haven't done that now. I'm against the occult as much as ever, but I haven't done that. It got to be so dark and oppressive. I haven't done that probably for 15 years, but every now and then I bring back to you my history and how I came to realize that Halloween is not a day that honors the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's see what's happening here. There we go. My history. I celebrated Halloween until 1981. Been here a long time. Lynn and I came here in December of 1979. So I celebrated Halloween for quite some time. This is a picture of one of my good friends. This is Vince Raffelli here, and my mother was excellent seamstress, and we have two cute little costumes here that my mom made. Now, I like the candy, but I dislike the focus on fear and on the devil and on evil and on witchcraft. I didn't like that. Didn't like that at all. My favorite costume that my mom made was the gorilla costume that I had. I really look like a gorilla, I tell you what. Now, I like the candy, I celebrated Halloween through my high school years. In fact, I was in charge of the decorations in high school for a Halloween party, so I borrowed this tombstone from an abandoned pre-Civil War cemetery, but what's hard for you to see here is that says January 20th. It was all covered with dirt and everything. That's when I took it back. I cleaned it all up and set it back up. But the point of the matter is that I got to get this going right here. The point of the matter is that I found out that was my birthday on that tombstone, and I was superstitious at that time and thought, you need to get that back to the cemetery where you're borrowed. I couldn't get it back fast enough. I just wanted the party to be over. My history of Halloween, Operation Nightmare, I took youth to scary Halloween activities, and I once had a haunted house in the basement for our youth group that was at the previous church that I was at. Yet all of that changed. Now, I was here at the First Baptist Church of Oak Creek, and I pulled issue. I get Moody Monthly Magazine, and a missionary wrote an article, "We Should Unmask Halloween." Her name was Joy Sterling. And I read Joy Sterling's article, and I came to the realization that the reason that I was so uncomfortable with a lot of the aspects of Halloween was the fact that there was an evil side associated with Halloween, and it's always been. In fact, I left a church youth group with the permission of my parents because they were going to have a seance and try and call up the devil, and they were going to levitate tables, and so I asked my parents if I could go to my grandma and grandpa's church. It was a Baptist church, and they agreed with that. But I want you to very clearly see that when you remove the candy coating on Halloween, there's a real dark side. Now, I need to go back a little bit for you to understand the things I'm going to say, but how did it all begin? Well, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1 makes it clear how it all began. It says very clearly in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." So God created it all. He created this world for us. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 very clearly tells us that it is created by Jesus, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and in earth. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good, and the evening and the morning was the sixth day. We here at First Baptist Church believe in a literal six-day, 24-hour day creation without apologies. And the Lord planted a garden on the east of Eden, and he put the man whom he had formed there. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." It was a choice. The choice was to obey God or to obey Satan. What choice did they make? Well, they chose to believe Satan, and they chose to obey him. And what was the result of that choice? Romans chapter 5, 12, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Your choice today. You can either worship the Creator, or you can worship the creation. And I mean to tell you, with the emphasis on the green today, there's far more people who are worshiping the creation instead of the Lord God Almighty and his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, I just want to tell you that the roots of witchcraft, and I know wherever I speak, witchcraft has its roots in the worship of nature and creation and all of the idolatry associated with it. You see, it all goes back to creation worship, and that creation worship goes back to Babel and goes back to Nimrod. Genesis chapter 11, verse 4, "And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name." The Tower of Babel was to be a tower to worship the sun and worship the moon and the astrology and astrological worship there. That is a 15th century rendition of the Tower of Babel, but this is actually the foundation of the Ziggurat of Babel that you can see from a satellite. This is a satellite picture of the foundation of the Tower of Babel that still exists today in Iraq. The mother of occult idolatry is Babel or Babylon. Babylon is the root of divination. Modern name is fortune telling. Sorcery, the old name. Magic, the new name. Spiritism, trying to contact the dead, and necromancy. Necromancy, the old name, that one's reversed. And these all have their roots going back to this tower that was built there in the plain. It goes back to Babylon. Ezekiel chapter 21 and verse 21, it says, "The king of Babel stood at the parting of the way, and at the head of the two ways to use divination, and he made his arrows bright, and he consulted with images, and he looked into a liver." So here's what he did. He took his arrows like pickup sticks, shook them, and threw them out, and then his diviner looked, and he's trying to find which way to go at the fork in the road. And so his diviner looks and says, "These arrows tell you to go this way." But not only that, he looked at his images. So he brought out the pagan images that they were worshiping and thought he could get some information there. And then what he did was sacrifice an animal. I don't know that it was a lamb. Sacrifice a lamb or an animal of some sort, and then cut it open. And then they looked at how the liver quivered and how it laid in the animal to make his decision. That's what occultists do. Occultists turn away from the Lord God Almighty, and they follow the divination, fortune-telling, sorcery, magic, spiritism, or necromancy. And Deuteronomy chapter 28, 10 through 12 makes it clear that we shouldn't. "There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or uses divination, or an observer of the time, a chanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, a wizard, or a necromancer, All that do these things are an abomination to the Lord. They were an abomination then, they're an abomination now. Things haven't changed there. So how does Halloween tie into the ancient occult and its idolatry and the Old Testament? This is from the American Book of Days. It's not a Christian book at all. It's a secular book. It was written by George William Douglas, and it was modified or updated by his daughter. But here's what it says in the American Book of Days. Many of Halloween's customs are derived from the ancient Baal festivals. Lynn and I and those 18 who were with us, they pointed out at the top of the hill where there was an outcropping of trees, that's where Solomon's wives met. And that's where they sacrificed their children to Baal. It's called Tophet, and it's the Garden of the Drum. And they would drum themselves into a frenzy, and then this was heated quite hot here, and they would sacrifice the baby by putting the baby in the arms of Baal, where the baby would burn to death. And it says many of Halloween's customs are derived from the ancient Baal festivals. Jeremiah 19:5 says, they have built also a high place to Baal, and that's where it was, on the top of the hill, this high place we're looking at, to burn their sons with fire, says, for burnt offerings to Baal, which I commanded not, nor spake it, neither came into my mind. God says, this is not what it should be. This isn't the way that things should go. And they built also the high places to Baal to burn their sons and daughters. We already read that. Therefore, behold, the days cometh, saith the Lord, that this place shall no more be called Tophet, nor the valley of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. That's the valley of Gehenna, which was an illustration of hell. The Druids, you go back, you can't have Halloween without going into the Druids. The American Book of Days again. Other of Halloween customs originated from the taking of omens, from the struggles of victims in the Druidic sacrifices, the fire of Druid sacrifices, and they would build huge wicker works, and they would fill it with men and with animals and set it on fire as a sacrifice to their god. Check it out yourself. Bone fires are still popular, bonfires they call them today. But we don't have bonfires here, we have campfires. And there's a good reason for that, because bonfires, they were originated with the Druidic sacrifices that you just saw, which was left after it was all burned with bones and ashes. They still have a huge Burning Man ceremony here in the United States that harkens back to that, if you have paid any attention to that. Halloween's origins. The Celts considered November 1st as being the day of death because the leaves were falling and it was getting darker sooner. You can note that. The temperatures were dropping, and they believed their sun god was losing his strength because Samhain, the lord of death, was overpowering him. Further, they believed that on October 31st, and that's actually looks like Samhain, but they pronounce it Soan or Soween. On October 31st, Soween and Samhain, the lord of death, assembled the spirits of all who had died during the previous year. They had been confined to inhabit animals' bodies, reincarnated. They'd confined to inhabit animals' body for the punishment for their evil deeds. On the eve of the festival of Samhain, October 31st, they were allowed to return to their homes to visit the living. So the spirits were said to be able to visit their homes. And really, the only way to deceive them, as we'll see a little bit later, you would dress up in grotesque costumes to try and deceive those evil spirits so you wouldn't be attacked by them. Caesar wrote all Gallic nations are much given to superstitions. They either offer up men as their victims to their god, or they make a vow to sacrifice themselves. The ministers in these offerings are the Druids. They hold that the wrath of the immortal gods can only be appeased in a man's life redeemed by offering up human sacrifice, and it is a part of their national institutions to hold fixed solemnities for this purpose. Tacitus wrote, "British Druids deem it indeed a duty to cover their altars with the blood of captives and to consume their consult their deities through human entrails." They cut them open and they try and define things through that, the Druids. This is back when I had dark hair, though I was there just a little over a year ago. This is Stonehenge. Stonehenge is where the Druids would meet and many others right there, and there's outside of Stonehenge. But within 3 miles of Stonehenge, there are just numerous, over 300 funeral mounds. That's a funeral mound that is there. And there is what's inside the funeral mound, sacrificial victims. Human sacrificial victims are inside there. And there were sheep close to there, and I talked to a farmer who had those, and he moves his sheep out of the field around Halloween because more than once he's lost sheep because they have been stolen and sacrificed right there at Stonehenge. This is where the Druids were meeting at Stonehenge, a picture that was actually taken there, not by me, but a friend of mine. Druids and witches still meet at Stonehenge. They try and get over there, get as close as they can in that national park there, and try and do their things there. What about the fixed solemnities? Halloween can be, and to many is a deadly serious affair. It originated with pre-Christian Druids or Celts of Northern Europe who marked the year by four or more seasonal festivals. I'll just show you quickly the seasonal festivals in a minute. Halloween is and always has been an idolatrous worship day. It has never been a day that honors the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the creator of all things. Oikishimana, the American celebration of Halloween rests upon Scottish and Irish folk customs, which can be traced in a direct line to pre-Christian times. The celebration were held by the Druids in honor of Samhain, Lord of Death and Evil Spirits, whose festival fell on November 1st. Now, I wanted to point this out right here, this ghostly skeletal figure there. That's their Lord of Death and Evil Spirits, but the modern rendition of Samhain, the Lord of Death and Evil Spirits, is the ghostly hooded figure, a hooded skeleton holding a sickle in his hand. He is known as the Grim Reaper. The Grim Reaper, that is what it is today. And here is a calendar. Note the calendar from a witchcraft book. Halloween, Samhain is one of the eight major pagan worship days. Samhain is the beginning of their new year, and idolatrous rituals are performed relating to contacting and appeasing the dead. And very interesting, in this pagan book, remember what I just said, it's a pagan book. Do you see what's there marking that? A jack-o'-lantern, you know what a jack-o'-lantern is? A jack-o'-lantern is the ancient symbol of a damned soul. We'll see that in just a minute. And so there it is. It's one of the two great fire festivals. October 31st, or Halloween, All Hallows' Even, right across, and Beltane, or May Eve, again one of their fire festivals. May Day, where they dance around the maypole, which is a symbol of a male phallus. But nonetheless, all of these are occult days, and Yule there as well. All right, moving on. I spoke out against witchcraft at a big rally in Salem, Massachusetts a number of years ago. This was published that Salem is a Mecca, especially around Samhain. It's our holiday, the witch says, and this is Sharon Graham. our New Year's, and a lot of witches come here from all over the world. I can attest to that. I was there at Halloween. Witches from all over the world come to Salem, Massachusetts, to light their bonfires on the hill and to gather together. Halloween is their day. In 2007, alleged high priestess of Salem witches and an accomplice in a court was charged with putting a raccoon's head and its entrails on the doorstep of a business, destruction of property, and intimidating a witness. And this was Sharon Graham right there. And here we have her in 2:14. Says, as the old year starts to wane, the new year, it's now sowing or sowing. Halloween's origin in the United States. The American celebration of Halloween rests upon Scottish and Irish folk customs, which can be traced, as I said earlier, in a direct line to pre-Christian times. The earliest celebrations were held by the Druids in honor of Samhain, Lord of Death, and its festival fell on November 31st. It happened to be, I'm 33% Irish, it happened to be that the Irish brought Halloween to America. Millions of Irish starved during the Irish potato famine of 1845 and 1850. Another 1.5 million fled their beloved Ireland, and they brought, they looked for safe haven in America, and they brought their Halloween custom to the United States of America. A multitude of thousands of immigrants flooded into New York, and they brought with them their old Druidic superstitions, and one of those was Halloween. Let's look at the origin of costumes, if we might, to continue moving on here quickly. The Druids taught that it was on the eve of November 1st or October 31st, the Samhain Lord of Death called together all the wicked souls that within the past year had been condemned to inhabit animals' bodies. And he would then send the evil spirits to attack people. The only way the people could escape would be to disguise themselves to look like the evil spirits themselves. All I can tell you was is that the evil spirits must not only be evil spirits, but stupid spirits. Okay? If that's the case. Further, when the Druids built their huge bonfires, they offered up sacrifices, and those involved in the hideous idol worship wore costumes made of animal skins, and they practiced divination, and they looked for omens in the struggle of the victims of the flames. They danced, they chanted, they jumped over the flames, and that was supposedly to frighten the spirits away. I don't agree with a lot of what he writes, and yet I pulled this out. Dr. John MacArthur said this: dressing up like witches or goblins is incompatible with a Christian's testimony. Furthermore, many of the customs of Halloween are associated with the worst kinds of pagan belief and ceremonies. If we as Christian parents simply disregard the unchristian aspects of such practices as mere fantasy or superstition, and then encourage our children to participate in them, we run the risk of communicating the message that the spiritual battle waged by the rulers of darkness is not to be taken seriously. That's what happens today. The origin of trick-or-treat. Let's go to the origin of trick-or-treat. If you did not dress up, you could appease the evil spirits by offering them a treat. If you did that, it was believed that they would not cast an evil spell on you. In Holiday Legends by James Napier, it says Irish farmers would go from house to house begging for food for their ancient gods. Good luck was promised to all those who donated, but threats were made against those who would not give. How about the origin of the jack-o'-lantern? I basically told you this already. This is from the World Book Encyclopedia, an older edition. The apparently harmless lighted pumpkin face of jack-o'-lantern is an ancient symbol of a damned soul. I don't mind pumpkins. Sometimes I've had pumpkins displayed. But I'm just telling you that a jack-o'-lantern, according to Owen Ratcliffe, the candlelit pumpkin or skull served as a beacon for the Sabbath, that's the occult worship day, as a signal to mark those farms and homes that were sympathetic to Satanists and thus deserving of mercy when the terror of the night began. Former witch, I've talked with him personally, Tom Sanguinet, said Halloween is purely and absolutely evil, and there is nothing that we ever have or will do that will make it acceptable to the Lord Jesus Christ. Deuteronomy 32, 16 and 17 says, they provoked him to jealousy with strange gods. With abominations provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed to devil and not to God, to the gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came up newly. 1 Corinthians 10:20, but I say, the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. The dark side of Halloween brings you into fellowship with the forces of darkness. You can like it, you can lump it, you can call me a liar, you can do whatever. I'm just telling you, that's why I quit celebrating Halloween when I really understood what it meant. Bible says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. That's what I'm doing right now, is reproving the unfruitful works of darkness. What about the heroes of Halloween? Well, naturally, the witch. I want to tell you that witches are real. They are real. I've debated witches. I've been in discussions with witches. I've witnessed to witches. I've seen being undercover witches howl at the moon and speak in tongues. Lori Cabot, don't even know whether she's alive, but she was, by Governor Dukakis at the time, proclaimed to be the official witch of Salem. And that drew witches from all over the world. Lori Cabot is an American witch high priestess and one of the most high-profile witches in the world, one of the first witches to popularize witchcraft in the United States. There's a huge 200-acre preserve in central Wisconsin called Circle Sanctuary. It's owned by this woman. Her name, real name, is Selena Fox. Her real name is Mary Sue Bissett. Her witch name is Selena Fox, and she owns that 200-acre plus reserve that's called Circle Sanctuary. And this is Selena today popularizing witchcraft. In case you think that I'm just talking through my hat, I was flown to New York City and I debated two witches. And these two witches right here, they worship Dagon. I said to them after the program, I said, things didn't turn out very good for Dagon, did they? But anyway, I was on a national talk show, and the witch lobby was so powerful, when it aired nationally, they had audio problems when I spoke, exposing witchcraft. And I threatened to sue them, and it was then that they admitted that the witchcraft lobby was so powerful and that they blocked out what I said. Now Gordon Elliott, who ran that show, is in charge of a lot of stuff on the Food Network. I think it was a good move for him to move from there to the Food Network. The Wiccan Reed, witches want you to believe that they are good witches and don't do any evil. Anton LaVey was a satanic witch. He's dead, knows better now, but former witch Doreen Irvine said many black witches were lesbians and homosexuals. Sadism was practiced frequently. She said, I practice more wickedness in a single week than many would in an entire lifetime. And if you don't think so, and this is exactly how they advertised it in Wisconsin, in their Wisconsin paper, at Wyalusing State Park, which is a state park in Wisconsin, they advertised faggot witch camp. And it was held at Wyalusing State Park in Prairie du Chien. Our purpose is to organize this event is to gather with like-minded queer men to explore our unique perspective and experience as faggot witches. Now, don't get after me on that. That's how they advertised it. That's right in their paper. It's filled full of perverseness. Cheryl Ann Casa, Lady Cassandra, she transitioned from male person to female person on the morning of Samhain in 1989. A man had things removed, and see, it was going on in the witchcraft community well before it started being pushed here. Witchcraft and perversion, sex, spirit, and SM. SM stands for sadomasochism. The Book of Curses, Sybil Leek, I talked to Julian Leek, her son, look at what was in Sybil Leek's book by Friedrich Nietzsche. I call Christianity the one great curse, the one enormous and innermost perversion, the one great instinct of revenge for which no measures are too venomous, too underhanded, too underground, too petty. I call it the immoral blemish on mankind. Witches are good, right? I mean, this is a popular book published for witches. Sorry. And there is some of the ones they worship. Just off 27th Street, I went into a witchcraft church. They didn't call it a church, they called it a temple. And there on their altar, they had the Mother Goddess, they had Buddha, they had a picture of Jesus Christ, they had a picture of Diana, just off 27th Street in Milwaukee. Teens, witchcraft is very popular, especially with teen girls, and particularly with the advent of Harry Potter. There's J.K. Rowling. She admits that one-third of what her books are based on are actually the occult. All the Harry Potter movies and the Harry Potter things, the new book, I did a program on that. I have a book on that. But her books are based on the real occult. Harry Potter has popularized witchcraft. Witches love it. Witches love Harry Potter. This is Phyllis Corot. She's an attorney, and she mentioned how she loves Harry Potter. It's great fantasy. It's positive. They, witches, are friendly. They are good. The book the book might challenge the way people feel about us. That's not exactly true. The dark witchcraft is increasingly evident in the book. The Bible condemns all witchcraft, and Harry Potter basically is a primer for witchcraft and sorcery. There is Hermione getting ready to work some potions, and you see a lot of that. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 23, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Rebellion and witchcraft are synonymous. I have seen so many young ladies and some young men. They rebel against their parents, so you know what they do? They go out and they get involved in the occult. They go out and they get involved in witchcraft. Galatians 5, 19 and 20 says, now the works of the flesh are these, and then it lists adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, and what's the next one? Idolatry, and then witchcraft. How witches seek wisdom and power. Divination and fortune telling. Divination, also known as fortune telling, is the act of foreseeing the practice of foreseeing the future, fortune telling events, discovering hidden knowledge, or reading a person through thoughts, through occult means and powers. And that's what that is. And right down the road every summer, they have the Renaissance Fair. And the Renaissance Fair, this is a lady at the Renaissance Fair, and you know what she's doing? She'll read your fortune in the tarot cards, the Ouija board. That's the common one on that. I should go back, but there's the Witch's Virgin, a round Ouija board. I took that picture at an occult bookstore in Salem, Massachusetts. A witch book of divination. Deuteronomy 18 says, there shouldn't be found among you those that practice divination. Sorcery and magic. Sorcery and magic is seeking to control or manipulate the world of humanity, animals, forces, spirits, by invoking invisible supernatural forces or spirit agents. Christians know them as demons. Demons. And they have talismans and charms to do just that. These are the talismans, the runes, and the charms. You have men wearing this, the female compliance one. You have the abracadabra one. You have protection from earthquakes here, all of that sort of things. Oh, this is the candle for lesbian love. You light the candle and it's supposed to bring you good luck in that. Magic. This is not the sleight of hand magic, but magic with earth spirits. Earth spirits are gnomes, trolls, and fauns. Air spirits are sylphs and fairies. Fire spirits are called salamanders, not the animal. Water spirits are undines and nixies. But nature spirits, book written completely on that. Elymas the sorcerer. What does God say about this? Elymas the sorcerer, so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Witches and occultists do not want people to yield to Jesus Christ. And then Saul, which is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him. And here is God's evaluation of those who are involved in the occult. O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right way of the Lord? You see, Selena Fox was raised a Baptist. She preached a sermon in her youth group. That tells you what kind of youth group she had and what kind of Baptist church she attended. But she says, oh, I was saved two or three times, and I just am in touch with all the gods and the goddesses. No, no. O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness. And who's going to be damned? The fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, and the whoremongers, and the sorcerers, and the idolaters, and liars shall have their part in the lake of fire which burneth with brimstone, which is the second death. You see this there? Sorcerers. You know what the underlying word for sorcery is? Pharmakia. You know what we get from that word? Pharmacy. With almost all occult activities, there is drug use and drug abuse. Okay? Spiritism and necromancy, it's trying to raise the spirits from the dead, seeks to acquire revelation from the spirit world by communicating with the dead. Ah! You know who this is? I want you to know that Hillary Clinton's psychic was Jean Houston, helped Hillary talk to Eleanor Roosevelt. And so Houston writes about her helping Hillary Clinton contact Eleanor Roosevelt in her book. I sure want to vote for her as president. The wisdom that descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. The occult is earthly, sensual, and devilish. The harm of Halloween, quickly here. Many children get their first exposure to the real occult. I did. At a Halloween party, they were going to get in a circle and they were going to call up the devil. I left. Previous to that, they were going to levitate a table. And I just laughed. I didn't participate, but I didn't want anything to do with the devil. No Christian young person. I mean, I don't know. Many children get their first exposure to the real occult at Halloween. It stimulates interest in the occult and experimentation with the occult. And they may be unnecessarily exposed to fear. It teaches them that the Word of God can be ignored. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 21 says, prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. My friends, I would urge you to find something else to celebrate with your children than Halloween. It is the devil's day. It has been the devil's day. It'll be the devil's day. You can try and candy coat it. Go out and buy your kids candy. Go ahead. But by the same token, the trick-or-treating, the jack-o'-lanterns, the dressing up, all of that has occult roots. It is still in the army or in the military, having been worked as a chaplain, you can turn to the page in the chaplain's manual on witchcraft and guess what one of their major holidays is? October 31st. Do something else. Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. I just do not see how celebrating Halloween can be to the honor and the glory of God. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I would certainly urge you to call upon His name and be saved. You can't even begin to figure what I'm talking about if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And so we're going to have an invitation in just a moment as Michael comes. And if you don't know for sure that Christ is your Savior, I would urge you to call upon His name and be saved.